This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
This notion that we've had that people are going to be better off if we shove them farther away while they're still using. And we couldn't see more evidence that that doesn't work around us in this community because of the degree of suffering that people suffer. They get infectious diseases. They lose limbs. They get incarcerated. They cycle through violent incidents. Their lives become viewed animalistically. They're not treated humanely. And insight is just a tiny piece of the solution to that. And it doesn't address all of those complex realities for drug users' lives. But when you watch folks suffer and struggle so much on a day-to-day basis, and then when they come in here and you realize this is the only square footage in the entire continent of North America, that when a person walks through that door, they're a human being and not a criminal. And that gives you the opportunity to treat people humanely and give them some respect and to listen and to attempt to actually meet their real practical needs, whether it's housing or methadone or treatment. And it changes, it levels the whole playing field. It reduces so much judgment and opens up hope. And so for that reason, it's an incredible day.
That was Liz Evans, executive director of the community-based organization that helps to deliver the services of Vancouver's InSight supervised injection site. The Supreme Court of Canada's decision regarding the continuation of InSight has been seen as a victory for harm reduction policies and provincial and individual rights. It has also been portrayed as a repudiation of the Harper government's focus on incarceration and punishment as an approach for dealing with drug-related social and health problems. A triumph of reason over ideology. Now a larger question looms. What impacts might this decision have beyond the Vancouver Supervised Injection Program, which is the only program of its kind in North America? Is it possible that the court's decision reflects a fundamental change in the way Canadian society approaches and deals with addiction and its associated harms?
We're joined on the phone by Dr. Patricia Daly, who's the Chief Medical Health Officer and the Vice President for Public Health at Vancouver Coastal Health. Welcome back to People First Radio, Dr. Daly.
It's my pleasure to be joining you today.
Dr. Daly, what are your thoughts about this ruling from the Supreme Court?
Well, of course, we're very happy with the ruling in Vancouver Coastal Health because it confirms the evidence that we've collected since we've been operating in sight that it has improved the health of a very vulnerable population, that we've looked for but found no harms associated with operation of InSight. And that was important because we did set this up as a pilot project. There was some evidence from similar sites in Europe that it could be of benefit. But we also wanted to be sure that we addressed some of the potential risks that people were worried about, such as whether or not it enabled drug use, whether the impact in the local community. And we have found that it does not enable or lead to drug use, which I think is some of the criticism we hear from some members of the federal government, that it improves public order in the neighborhood in which it operates. So we've got substantial support from the community, in addition to all the other health benefits, the reduction in overdose deaths, the reduction in risk factors for HIV and other infections that we've seen.
The ruling was unanimous. It was written by Chief Justice Beverly McLaughlin. The Chief Justice refers to safe injection sites operating in 70 cities, in 6 European countries, and in Sydney, Australia, and she writes the following. These sites are evidence that health authorities are increasingly recognizing that health care for injection drug users cannot amount to a stark choice between abstinence and foregoing health services. Successful treatment requires acknowledgement of the difficulties of reaching a marginalized population with complex mental, physical, and emotional health issues. Tell us about those challenges and how InSight meets them.
Well, that's a very important part of the ruling, because I think it addresses some of the ideology out there that we either have a choice between harm reduction or prevention and treatment, and that is simply not true. In fact, in Vancouver Coastal Health, we've dramatically increased the treatment options for drug users at the same time as we've operated Insight. In fact, Insight has become a way to facilitate and engage that very marginalized population and get them into treatment. So that's one of the challenges that this group, because they were so concerned about arrest or consequences of using illegal drugs, that it was very difficult to engage them before we opened Insight. Now, knowing that they have a safe place where they can inject, where they know they're not going to be subject to arrest, where they're treated with dignity by the staff, that's been a real opportunity to engage this group and to get them into treatment. So, you know, if I were to sit down with the federal government, I would say, because I think some of the good things that they've said is they recognize that addiction is an illness and that treatment is important, I would say, look, we don't have a magic treatment to get rid of addiction. It's very difficult to shake addiction, whether it's to something like nicotine or whether it's to illegal drugs. We know it can take many, many attempts. But a program like Insight, first of all, it keeps that person healthy while they're trying to get off drugs. And also, it actually is a way to engage them in treatment and we didn't have that opportunity before opening Insight.
The Chief Justice also writes in the ruling the following: there is no single reason for the concentration of intravenous drug users in this particular urban neighborhood. Contributing factors include the presence of several single-room occupancy hotels, the deinstitutionalization of the mentally ill, the effect of drug enforcement policies over the years, and the availability of illicit narcotics at street level. Tell us more about contributing factors and the determinants of health that are involved in this situation.
Well, it's true that the downtown Eastside is a unique neighborhood, even among urban centers in Canada who may certainly have populations of injection drug users. None of them really have a neighborhood like the downtown Eastside, where you have a very high concentration of people suffering from mental illness and addictions, living in poverty. And so I think it does have some unique characteristics. And, of course, we need to address some of those determinants of health. And I think, actually, I have to give credit to our City of Vancouver government, to the provincial government, in trying to address some of those housing issues address some of those underlying determinants, because ultimately those are important when we're talking about prevention strategies. But I think because it's a unique neighborhood, one of the things, if we're looking about expanding this harm reduction model into other cities, supervised injection was endorsed as an evidence-based public health practice by the Urban Public Health Network, which represents the 18 largest municipalities in Canada. But I don't know if you'll see very many of those come forward with an application for an exemption, because it can be difficult to get the local support, the local municipal support to establish these facilities, and we know that. And on the other hand, there are other models in which we could incorporate harm reduction into the healthcare services we offer. And we're very fortunate in BC that the College of Nurses have stated that supervised injection is a legitimate nursing practice, and it gives the opportunity to perhaps expand these services, not necessarily in standalone sites, but where other healthcare services might be offered to people suffering addictions, in the same way that we've incorporated needle exchange into those services. So that's a model we'd like to look at.
This is CHOY.ca, CHOY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
Insight is North America's first and only legal supervised injection site. British Columbia's Ministry of Health Services provides operational funding for Insight through Vancouver Coastal Health, which operates the facility in conjunction with a community-based organization. Insight operates with a harm reduction model, which means it strives to decrease the adverse health, social, and economic consequences of drug use without requiring abstinence from drug use. But harm reduction is not without its critics, including the federal government of Canada. The Supreme Court of Canada has now ruled that Insight has the right to remain open and to continue offering services in Vancouver's downtown east side, despite the federal government's attempts to shut it down. The David and Goliath struggle has been closely watched by advocates both for and against harm reduction approaches. We're speaking with Dr. Patricia Daly, who is the Chief Medical Health Officer and the Vice President for Public Health at Vancouver Coastal Health.
Dr. Daly, you touched on a kind of a going forward view of this just a few moments ago, but I'm wondering if you could elaborate on the effects that you think this ruling could have on an ongoing basis among communities, health authorities, and organizations involved in harm reduction in British Columbia.
Well, the ruling did apply specifically to Insight, but it does open the door for other communities to apply for an exemption to Canada's drug laws if they wish to offer a similar service, because if they have the conditions that that were favorable in the situation we have in Vancouver to get the exemption for Insight. In other words, if they can demonstrate there's a need, they have an injecting drug-using population who are suffering harms from drug use, if they have local support and the resources to establish this service, then there's an opportunity to apply for an exemption, and it might be granted. While we were waiting for the court ruling, I think there were communities, whether I'm not certain that there are any others in BC at the moment, but certainly elsewhere in Canada, who had held off establishing these services awaiting for the result because they didn't think they would get an exemption granted. So it does provide that opportunity to go forward in other places.
What are the immediate needs and challenges that are associated with harm reduction in British Columbia and particularly with the populations we've been talking about?
Well, I think one of the challenges is still and establishing that community support for harm reduction as a legitimate public health practice, addressing those people who still might be concerned that harm reduction enables drug use or don't understand that it's not a choice between harm reduction and treatment, that you need to have both. So there's still a lot of education that we need to do, because if we're going to establish services, whether it's supervised injection or needle exchange in communities, we sometimes get that reaction when we try and establish these services. And even in Vancouver, more recently, we are about to launch a pilot project to distribute crack pipes, again, as a harm reduction strategy. And it was a bit surprising to me, the negative backlash we received, even from within our own community, one that supports Insight and needle exchange for that particular service. So we still have to do a lot of education around the importance of harm reduction.
Dr. Daly, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Just to say that I think this ruling really legitimizes what we're trying to do in public health, that it's not a question of harm reduction versus treatment. Our ultimate goal is always to prevent people from becoming addicted to any drug or to treat those who are addicted, but harm reduction keeps human beings alive while we're trying to achieve those other goals.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
It's my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Patricia Daly is the Chief Medical Health Officer and the Vice President for Public Health at Vancouver Coastal Health. She is also a clinical professor in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of British Columbia. And we want to thank the Georgia Strait for the audio with Liz Evans's comments, which can be found on YouTube.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.